Cryptic Canticles welcomes you to the Dracula Radio Play experience. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this full audio performance of Bram Stoker's masterpiece, released chronologically by entry date.
Mina Murray's Journal, 6 August. Another 3 days and no news. This suspense is getting dreadful. If I only knew where to write to or where to go, I should feel easier. But no one has heard a word of Jonathan since the last letter. Since the last letter, I must only pray to God for patience. Lucy is more excitable than ever, but is otherwise well. Last night was very threatening, and the fishermen say that we are in for a storm. I must try to watch it and learn the weather signs. Today is a gray day, and the sun, as I write, is hidden in thick clouds high over Kettleness. Everything is gray, except the green grass, which seems like emerald among it, gray earthly rock, gray clouds, tinged with the sunburst at the far edge, hang over the gray sea, into which the sandpoints stretch like gray figures. The sea is tumbling in over the shallows, and the sandy flats with a roar, muffled in the sea mist drifting inland. The horizon is lost in a gray mist. All vastness. The clouds are piled up like giant rocks, and there is a brool over the sea that sounds like some passage of doom. Dark figures are in the beach here and there, sometimes half shrouded in the mist, and seem men like trees walking. The fishing boats are racing for home, and rise and dip in the groundswell as they sweep into the harbor, bending to the scuppers. Here comes old Mr. Swales. He is making straight for me, and I can see, by the way he lifts his hat, that he wants to talk. I have been quite touched by the change in the poor old man. When he sat down beside me, he said in a very gentle way,
"I want to say something to you, miss."
I could see he was not at ease, so I took his poor old wrinkled hand in mine and asked him to speak fully. So he said, leaving his hand in mine,
"I'm afraid, my dearie, that I must have shocked you by all the wicked things I've been saying about the dead and such like for weeks past. But I didn't mean them, and I want you to remember that when I'm gone. We old folks that be daffled and with one foot abaft the crook hole don't altogether like to think of it, and we don't want to feel scart of it. And that's why I've took to making light of it, so that I'd cheer up my own heart a bit. But, Lord love you, miss, I ain't afraid of dying. Not a bit. Only I don't want to die if I can help it. My time must be nigh at hand now, for I be owed, and 100 years is too much for any man to expect. And I'm so nigh it that the old man is already wetting his scythe. You see, I can't get out of the habit of capping about it all at once. The chaffs will wag as they be used to. Someday soon, the angel of death will sound his trumpet for me. But don't you dole and greet, my dearie."
For he saw that I was crying.
"If he should come this very night, I'd not refuse to answer his call. For life be, after all, only a waiting for something else than what we're doing. And death be all that we can rightly depend on. But I'm content, for it's coming to me, my dearie, and coming quick. It may be coming while we be looking and wondering. Maybe it's in that wind out over the sea that's bringing with it loss and wreck and sore distress and sad hearts. Look! Look! There's something in that wind and in the host beyond that sounds and looks and tastes and smells like death. It's in the air. I feel it coming. Lord, make me answer cheerful when my call comes."
He held up his arms devoutly and raised his hat.
"Father,
his mouth moved as though he were praying.
Thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth."
After a few minutes' silence, he got up, shook hands with me, and blessed me, and said goodbye, and hobbled off. It all touched me, and upset me very much. I was glad when the Coast Guard came along, with his spyglass under his arm. He stopped to talk with me, as he always does, but all the time kept looking at a strange ship.
I can't make her out. She's a Russian, by the look of her. But she's knocking about in the queerest way. She doesn't know her mind a bit. She seems to see the storm coming, but can't decide whether to run up north in the open or to put in here. Look, there again! She has steered mighty strangely, for she doesn't mind the hand on the wheel. Changes about with every puff of wind. We'll hear more of her before this time tomorrow.
You have been listening to Bram Stoker's Dracula, the radio play, as presented by the Cryptic Canticles. Stay tuned for our next episode at crypticcanticles.com.